Welcome to the podcast.
About your face, old ass is the goodest place to start. What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. Show with three friends separated by distance, connected by brotherhood, and having weekly conversations that you can join in on. As always, I am one third of the partners, your boy Tiz, and I am along with
other third of the partners, your friendly neighborhood Padawan here, and I'm along with
Pause. Yeah, facing the blunt. What's happening?
Well, all right then. Facing the blunt, don't call him a cunt. All right. I don't know. I just wanted to ride. We usually have a ride there, so I just
felt right. You right. You right. Don't call me no cunt.
And speaking of what not to call y'all, how y'all doing this week, man? How is everybody? What's going on in your lives? How can we be there for each other this week? What's happening?
Well, it's been the closer I get to the 20s of this month, gets kind of more of a struggle just mentally dealing with the death anniversary of my pops and shit. But I think I'm doing better this year than I have been the past couple years. Getting more into holiday shit where I've really never been into holiday shit from a young kid, but now I'm getting more into it, not just for the kids, just trying to participate in the joy feelings and shit like that. Even though I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with, I'm trying to use the happiness around me to just use it as just do some just osmosis that happiness in me.
Yep, use it to lift you till you can lift yourself.
You feel me? So that's been my thing this week. So I've been trying to keep myself busy with work while I'm there. So I'm constantly doing something, so I have no downtime to just think about personal shit. That's what normally happens during this month. Like, you feel me? Like, 'cause most times, whatever industry I've been in, working, I've always just always been either a lull period or just a time where I'm ahead. So I just got the extra free time to think. But doing what I'm doing now, I don't have that time. And I'm trying to stay occupied. So I'm mentally focused at all times. So I think I'm doing better now than if this was last year, this time, I say I'm doing better now than I would last year. So,
well, we always going to take growth.
Compared to what we were doing last year as far as on the podcast and how I was feeling while we were recording, I think I'm doing better this year. So I think I'm actually doing what I wanted to do. I set out to do at the beginning of the month, actually trying to get past and actually just process everything like it needs to be processed successfully and positively. So I think I'm doing all right.
You're doing a great job because you're here. And you still and you pushing every day. That's it. How can we support or be there as you're continuing to kind of go through this season and, you know, even just this week?
Same old. Just listen to ears I need when I need them, bro.
Right on. You know we got you on that.
Already.
Well, I'm definitely feeling kind of similar to you. Today is my uncle's birthday who died. So rest in peace, Uncle Terry.
Rest in peace, Uncle Terry.
But just weird. With him, I kind of known since his accident that he probably was going to end up going at some point. But I think his birthday makes me think about his death, which makes me think about Coco, you know, my cousin. And that's the one that I really ain't fully processed all the way yet.
Yeah, I understand that one.
And work has been shit this week, so that ain't helped. I had really struggled there. So it's just been a rough one. Forgot my meds today, so had to go through everything kind of cold turkey.
Yeah.
And honestly, wasn't really ready for that. Like, it's one thing if I had to, like, mentally prepare myself and been like, okay, I'm doing this on purpose. But just made everything compounded today. So it was a rough one. But, you know, once I got home, I had therapy today. Hung out with my son a little bit. And from there, shit was cool, man. You know what I mean? By the time I got here, like, I kind of shook off the day a little bit and just looking for the next couple of days to be over, get this nice family time over Christmas holiday and take this vacay. You know, we got the Christmas here, but I'm also coming up to VA on the 26th or the 27th. So, Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to holler at y'all for that and we'll talk details and whatnot. So that's really it right now, man. Just processing, man. I don't even know. Just tonight already has been cool. Just kind of, you know, not necessarily thinking about the fucked up shit. Kind of just having the moments of joy, talking about fun shit. You know, our little pre-taping talks. So I mean, just keep being my boys, man. You know, I'm gonna be all right. stop. You gonna figure this shit out.
That shit ain't gonna never stop. The 20 some years this fall, so shit.
Indeed. Indubitably. How you, Pat?
I'm doing pretty all right, man. I had a good Sunday. Matter of fact, I can safely say that Sunday was the best day I've had in some years. Like a day where everything felt complete. Like I got some, I've been working on, this is like the second album cover I did for this singer or whatever. And he got like a wolf concept, like lone wolf concept. And I've been drawing this picture and I've been trying to figure out how to do this one design for this mirror and whatever. And it clicked that day. Spent time with, as you could just say, she's my girlfriend now. But
chicken sandwich is the bay.
You was funny. But
got a girl at home.
Had a whole song about
she's so good to him.
Nigga, for the past year, everybody in the pod squad has had to listen to you and I'm single, damn it. And I've been single. And the reason I'm single, and don't forget I'm single. And if you hadn't heard, I'm Pat. I'm single.
It's just preliminary explanations before I get into whatever I think point I'm trying to get to when I try.
Pat got a boo. Pat got a boo.
But
it's been a long time, y'all.
Either way, it's been productive. And what we saw. We went to see the new Residential, the Resident Evil movie.
I was like, y'all went to a living facility for somebody or something?
Nah, man.
Looking at houses?
Nah, man. It's one of them. You know how your work terms get in the way of your normal conversation? That's one of them.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Or whatever. So we went to see that. It was actually, a lot of people said they didn't like it or whatever, I guess. I don't think it was that scary, but as far as like, story wise, I got addicted pretty much. Okay. So that was
what's about
cool. I wrote a song for the first time in a while or whatever.
Oh shit.
I just stopped writing for a while, just to focus on the book and everything. So
Mr. I Don't Battle Rap is back, y'all.
The guy that I'm actually doing the album cover for, he actually sent me like a shitload of beats. Not like trash beats. They're like good shit or whatever that he pretty much bought, but he wasn't really using or whatever. He got one of those deals where you buy a whole bunch and he just went through and pick whatever he
wanted. You bought a pack.
Yes, a pack. I can make a like, if music sound stays the way it is right now, I could like make a whole career out of these random beats that he gave me. That's how many he gave me or whatever. I just wrote something just to see where I'm at, pretty much.
Flex the muscles again.
Flex the muscles, pretty much. Try to see if I got my muscle memory or whatever. And that got me to a point. That good day, for the first time in a while, had me thinking, you know what? For the past couple of years, I've been going through an existential crisis. Like, like pretty much trying to find the artist who I am and trying to make it work in reality or whatever. Because being an artist, when they say starving artist, shit is the truth. Like, one, making music is not a cheap hobby at all. My God, it's not. It's not at all. Period. I don't know. And then just trying to find your place or whatever, because the way I learned how to rap is basically from street niggas and drug dealers, pretty much, or whatever. Even battle rapping. I was battle rapping. All right, you get your, in occasional contest or whatever, you get your extra backpacker or whatever, or you get your random Eminem. You get what I mean? That gets, fit or whatever, but majority of the time that I have a rap, I had to impress street niggas and drug dealers. But I don't consider myself the sort. I mean, even though I'm from Portsmouth and stuff, my family are like, anyway, I didn't consider myself the sort. I just consider myself an artist or whatever. But that's not what mainstream likes. So I just stick in the backpack realm because that's where it was safe at. But at the same time, I still in my head would make music that would probably be mainstream, but I'm like, I'm not that person. So now it's just a matter of me trying to figure out
what's authentic to you.
Yeah, what's authentic to me? Because I mean, I can write about anything. I can write about stuff that I don't even like. I can write about somebody else's experience. I don't even have to write my own. But it's right now. It's not. That's not what I want to do.
Yeah, that you want to write stuff that actually speaks to you.
Yeah,
well, let me be Big Brother Bakes real quick to you. I've been waiting for you to say this one statement for many moons, because I've been waiting for you to find yourself as find who you are in your artistry as well, my friend. For years, I've watched you muddle over different styles and different things. But as you said, you can write anything. You can write any style. But is it you? You feel me?
Yeah.
So. I remember I'm gonna give you a bar of one of your lines, of one of your old raps.
Oh man,
ride this clip like a Hardy boy. Remember
that?
I can ride this clip. You feel me? That well written, but that ain't Pat. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. No, the best Pat line was "I'm in the white legend like Liz Taylor."
Exactly.
That shit was hard, especially for like early 2000s rap, like. Niggas won't say shit like that yet.
But this is my thing. Around with the surroundings that you had in those years. And you're right in your statement. You were around drug dealers and other type of shit.
Sorry, so Pat.
You're trying to shoot your bars around that surrounding. I'm happy to see the growth in you. Because like I said, like I always say, we've been friends for just 2021. 20 plus years now, because it's past October. It's past August, so it's going on to the 22nd year, 21st year. So to know you that long and to see you coming to your own, I'm very proud of you. Just as a friend and a big brother, I'm proud of the statement you just made of you coming into your own and getting your own artistry, because you are a very talented artist, not just drawing, as an artist all around. You feel me? I ain't saying this as a friend. I'm saying this as a random nigga who just knows your art and has seen what you do over the span of just a 20-year mark. You feel me? You're very talented. I'm happy that you're finding your realm, because your realm is going to help you go further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, all right, I still got those like aggressive bars as far as like, all right, I'm still a man, but I'm not trying to be no kingpin gang, you know, like, no, I'm not trying to portray that at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in general, like, so it's just finding myself. It's like, all right, what can I say that's going to entertain me and entertain one of everybody else at the same time? But I still feel like it's more important that it entertains me more than anything. Because, like,
absolutely,
my first couple of years is just me testing out my mind to see if I can say things to trip people out. And that's how I learned or whatever. But we're going to see or whatever. I'm experimenting with certain stuff or whatever.
I'm just glad to see you not like settling for just one thing, but like really just pushing your artistic talent. Like, again, like, I feel like that's, you know, might be something that's been missing. As far as like you being feeling like you was whole or like feeling like fully joyful, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just proud of you. And I know if you put 100% into any of your gifts, like, you're gonna shine, bro. You know what I'm saying? That shit gonna bring you all the other shit you want. So I'm proud of you.
Really, right now, I'm just tell you the truth, I'm kind of recording for the therapies. I ain't gonna lie. For some reason, the recording for me is therapeutic or whatever.
Hey, man. Like, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Get the aggression out, pretty much. Right. But on, yeah, man.
How can we support you, bro?
Y'all constantly support me. Y'all keep me on my shit. Just keep me on my shit, man. That's all. Y'all be doing the same thing y'all been doing, pretty much.
Now that I know you got writing, I'm definitely gonna be on your ear about it.
I have a forgetful mind from time to time. My head be running around. I be thinking seven things at one time. So yeah, you just keep me on my shit, man. I stay on it pretty much.
It's all good. We got you.
Shit. I'm gonna put it like this. I miss the art. I miss the writing, Pat. I miss spitting the bar, Pat. I miss it. Get in the Sebring and hitting that motherfucker.
30 notebooks, Pat.
Even I personally miss it. So you back in your swag. do your thing, homeboy. I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you, man. It's something different about you when you're doing your thing.
Yeah. And while you were talking about you was forgetful, I did remember something, man. You forgot that it's time.
Look, and then my time axis about
it is time. That time. Shoot. Shoot. Well, since it's that time, man, I hope y'all ready. Episode 56? 56? Yeah. 56, we 4 episodes away from 60. Episode 56. Good and fuckery. Yeah. All right. So last week's fuckery was intense. It was a lot of fuckery going on. Plus, it was like we had the 3-6 Mafia and everything. So it's been kind of calm the past couple of weeks or whatever. But a few things that caught my eye. Just, you know, searching the net, looking through topics and stuff like that, pretty much.
His face all right over there.
Faces.
He done had a couple of convulsions in the past couple of minutes.
He doodle.
Every time. Shit.
He's killing it. Ghostface killing it with the robe and chain.
No, that nigga looked like Martin when he had the fake dog by that CD player.
Maybe go get KJ real quick, shit.
Yo, when that nigga told the dog to sit, and that bitch was like, more. That is one of the funniest unintentional moments in TV history, yo. Like, because I know he really thought that dog was going to sit. And that bitch fell over, dog. Man, nigga, you could have took me right then, and I would have been fulfilled. Like, I would have been like, God, you know what? You done gave me everything I needed. I appreciate you.
Oh, man.
That shit was hilarious. I'm sorry to digress. I apologize. It's always me. My bad.
Cool, man. I love these conversations. It's be hilarious. All right. So a couple of quick notes or whatever. Things that popped at my eye, pretty much. No Christmas story when I mean that. Pause.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Popped at my eye.
All right. I'm waiting because he got the joke. I'm just waiting for the joke. I'm waiting. Oh, no, you got it. All right. I got a pass. Anyway. All right. So, Green Lantern, John Stewart, the Black Green Lantern, right? It's now more.
Hold on. So, what? So, who was Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds was Hal Jordan. The Green Lantern.
See, man, that's the thing about DC, man. They be having like 30 different variations of the exact same person. I ain't got time. No. I don't have time.
All right, so I'll put it. The Green Lanterns are like the police, galactic police.
So they like the Captain Marvels.
Yeah, or like the Nova Corps or whatever. Actually, the Nova Corps is kind of like a copycat of the Green Lanterns in general, but they're basically copies.
All right. They the Nova Corps.
Yeah. So in DC, Green Lanterns, they, you know, they police the galaxy pretty much. John Stewart, he's ex-military.
John Stewart is an amazing comedian who needs to come back to The Daily Show because his insight was very on point.
Yeah, John Stewart's hilarious.
He got Trevor Noah now.
Trevor Noah cool though. I like Trevor.
Yeah, he alright. It's just he ain't John Stewart. John Stewart was the nigga, man.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
Ain't nobody talk that shit like John, man.
Mm-hmm. Trevor is more calm or whatever. That's what I was saying. But this John Stewart he's Trevor Noah. He's black. He's Black John Stewart. He's Black John. He came out like in the 70s or whatever. But basically he's a Black Green Lantern and in a series of events in Green Lantern number 9, in the new Green Lantern comic book number 9, he absorbed a whole bunch of cosmic energy, and now he's more powerful than Superman. So I just wanted to highlight the fact that it's a black superhero, once again, stronger than Superman, or whatever.
There we go.
Honorable mentions, maybe Martian Manhunter, but I don't include him because he's a Martian. He just turns into a black person. from time to time. And Icon.
Why is his name Martian Manhunter? That is not creative at all.
Yeah, that's one of those, those old early comic books first came out 1930s name, pretty much. That just
I don't mean no harm, but 1930s people, y'all was dumb as hell.
Oh, quick fact, real quick. Yes, just to coincide with what Tiz's statement was, quick fact. Yes, the world was stupid in 1930s because in 1937, Time Magazine nominated Hitler as Man of the Year. So the 1930s weren't that good. Everybody lost their fucking mind.
Defense rest.
I digress. And that's also the year they made marijuana illegal in the United States. I further digress.
Defense rest again.
Yeah. It's just that early period or whatever. And then, you know, creatively, then that period is a lot more, it was a lot more strict as far as censorship. So as far as creativity goes, you had a lot of like blocks, firewalls to stop you from maybe going.
And they want that damn stifling. Ain't that when porn and shit was popping? They had them
naked. That was like 60s and
no, 60s, man, I'm talking about them new. It was like them burlesque made them plump.
True.
Maybe all
fluffy. That was, I would say, comic books is kind of promoted towards kids also. So that's probably why they're a little bit more strict. Even though there were, like, comic books that were on the adult risque side or whatever, pretty much. But that's like that was a cult following mostly at that time. But, yeah, it's a lot of corny names for superheroes, and most of
them. So you're saying they had freaky cult?
I didn't necessarily say that, but yeah. yeah. Freaky cults. Yeah, that's funny. That is funny. All right. More in Black news.
College.
What'd you say?
That's college.
True. Freaky cults. Frats. Yeah, that's college.
Yes.
Frats and sororities. And just people that are still class.
And the buddies.
Hey.
Yes, freaky ass cults.
I plead the fifth.
Get your watches in.
I plead the 69.
Boom. Oh, man. I wish I could have had my headset. All right. More on Black.
Number two.
Black media news here. Amanda, I might be butchering her name. It's Amanda Stanberg. Her name's Amanda Stanberg or whatever, but she was actually in the Hunger Games. She had some scenes in this movie called The Hate U Give and The Darkest Minds or whatever.
Never watched.
But I just brought her up because she's gonna be she's looking to be the new Black lead in the new Star Wars The Acolyte show that's gonna be on Disney Plus. So Black female lead. I want to just
good luck to a Black queen.
And Daniel Craig, he's doing his last James Bond movie. You know, did the Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace and Skyfall. So
he says I think next he done about red is.
Yeah, I did enjoy those movies in general, but you know every decade they go to a new James Bond eventually anyway. So
yeah, they do. Who's gonna be the next one?
That's what I was about to ask.
That's what I want to know. They still have rumors. They still got rumors of Idris and everything, but I'm still not sure about that.
If they do a Black one, I would want them to start a whole new storyline. Like I don't want them.
Yeah, I'm good saying. On that. It's just like you were saying earlier. Like, I'm more for let's just have more new Black characters than
I don't really need
having the Black
remakes.
Everything ain't like gotta have a sequel.
Even though I'm curious to see Idris' take on it because I like him as an actor and everything, but at the same time, I feel like
George was curious and they got him sitting back.
George of the jungle.
Watch out for that tree. Oh, speaking of Idris. Speaking of Idris, they released Sonic 2 trailer, and
they got Knuckles and Tails, y'all.
Yep. And
I'm hyped.
Idris' voice fits Knuckle.
I knew Knuckles was going to be as well because they showed them echidnas at the end of the last one. I was like, okay, so Knuckles got to be coming. I wasn't so sure if they were going to do him yet, but I'm glad.
And I think they got like an original voice actor, I think, for one of the games for Tails, pretty much. But
okay,
man, it looks good. I'm
very interested to see where they go storyline with this one, since the first one was kind of like, I don't really see where you go with that particular storyline. So I'm interested to see how they're going to like progress things.
It kind of looks like, I'm not sure if y'all familiar, but they started coming out with these Sonic games called Sonic Adventure or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were a little bit more interactive or whatever as far as the gaming. And they had like, it was like a game where Sonic was like in the human world, but he wasn't. So it kind of feels like this is where they're going with the movie, the way they introduce and stuff. It's just certain things I've seen in the trailer. In the last scene where Robotnik was in that planet with all the mushrooms and stuff like that.
Is he back?
Yeah.
Okay, because he was hilarious.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah, he's back.
Jim Carrey is a national.
The only reason I allow a skinny Dr. Robotnik is Jim Carrey. Yeah. That's it. I just feel like that. Well, I don't think you can get a better actor than Jim Carrey to play this guy.
He pulled off Eggman very well.
The only other person that could play that role is no longer living as Robin Williams.
You might be right. You might be right about that.
I'm having trouble seeing him in it, but I don't know if that's because I'm biased now that I've already seen.
Yeah,
that's why.
But I can't negate it. Like, Robin Williams was a very versatile.
And he would have actually put in a fat suit.
Yeah.
Well, he probably would have already been a little closer to Robotnik size anyway. He was a little...
True.
If
they wanted to go to that, but
speaking
of robots and science,
man, with the robot, they fucking again?
She
done had a baby now.
Nah, this is good. This is good stuff. I'm just saying, speaking of robot science and going to the next level. The U.S. What do you call it? U.S. Star Command. I guess they were renamed the Space Force or whatever.
Oh, Lord.
Pretty much. But no, they have a mission project called DART, the Double Asteroid Redirection Test or whatever. And what they're going to do in September 2022 is...
this imaginary governmental agency got a mission called DART?
See, this is the thing. And it's always been like a Space Force. They were called like the U.S. Star Command. They were a division of like the Air Force, I believe, or something like that. Like the Air Force was a division of the Army at first or whatever.
Has there been a lot of attacks from space that we haven't been told about?
See, this is the thing.
This is
something I saw from like a talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not that, how to say, there's different ways of war. Or whatever. You have your weaponry and everything, but it's also spying and espionage. You have satellites, things like that. Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty much what that is. And then the simple fact that if you have too much debris in the air and in the sky and stuff like that, it may crash. You want to keep an eye on all the debris that you might have in space. Just in general, things like that or whatever. So
they got a cool ass job.
What'd you say, Face?
They gotta be a cool ass job. What you do all day, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
And make sure it don't get too close.
So I mean
this big ass laser.
Like Neil was saying, military has always been in space pretty much. I mean, if you think about it, his example was like Sputnik or whatever. They really just used a hollowed out missile and then put like a radio receiver on the top of it and shot it out into airspace pretty much or whatever to see if they could do it.
Gotcha.
For satellite. So technically military's always been in space, and it wouldn't surprise me that the military would be the first people in space. They have to make that, pretty much. But this project, the DART project, is basically for human survival. They want to create a program where they can keep track of like asteroids that's near the planet and see if they can, you know, measure their trajectory, make sure it's not close to the planet. And if it is close to the planet, devise a way to at least push the directory out of the way so it don't ever hit our planet.
Now, from what I've heard, and I could be wrong, I thought that the nearest asteroid, at least in the millions, and I could be wrong, but I know it was nowhere near anybody's lifetime. So we spending our money on this, but you had all these motherfucking homeless still running, but we worried about a fucking asteroid that may or may not hit it, but we for damn sure had poor people.
Well, I can see both of the points. Especially where the funds are needed, especially in America, with all the other excessive issues we have. As far as monitoring the space, I can see that. Even though the known asteroid may be light years away, it is shit that randomly happened, like, what's this shit called? Omao Mao. That shit that popped up a couple years ago and then just went somewhere else. You feel me? So, I mean, shit randomly happens sometimes. Like, we don't know anything about the water or here on our own planet. I feel like some of them funds could be directed to figure out what's going on here first. You feel me? Let's explore everything here so we can have a good range of knowledge of here before we figure out there. I mean, I understand the hunger for it, but that just makes me know that maybe it's some other information that's not being shared with the wide range of public. That's why these other forces and other agencies are being commissioned to do other things with tax dollars now. I mean, like, it's always something else before the normal public finds out. So,
well, I would say the fight back for that, for your points, because I definitely was feeling the same way until Neil put down like the amounts that is used from our tax dollars. Like, because who was it? It was see. It's a face favorite guy, Joe Button. I saw a conversation with him, and he actually brought that topic up. But like, all right, we're using all this money for this, we're using it for this. And he said the actual amount of money that is used compared to the money that's used for other things like cancer research and stuff like that, it's not even. Oh man, I wish I had his example. But if you had if the budget was like a dollar, just a dollar bill itself, the actual science budget is like one corner of it. So they're just using that one corner of that dollar. The rest of it is might be used for medical research and just economy and things like that, which would go into different organizations if I like will hunger and stuff like that also. But he was basically saying the actual amount that they actually get from the government and taxpayers is like, if it was rounded off to just like $1, it'd be like you wouldn't even get to the ink of the dollar, he says. So
why the fuck are we so worried about space? Why is any money being spent on it? Like, who gives a fuck?
Space.
I don't care, man. If it ain't no aliens about to pop up tomorrow.
His explanation for that question was,
I don't give a fuck.
There's
fuck Neil. I don't give a fuck. Fuck Neil. I don't care. Give a fuck with no space.
But I do. It's a limited amount of resources that we could use out there to help us down here. So that's the reason.
Nigga, we ain't doing shit with this. Like, I'd rather us focus our energy on actually using the shit we do have. We ain't figured out fucking the fossil fuel crisis. How are we going to get electric, solar, financially? But we worried about some asteroid that may or may not ever come. And we worried about these stars and these planets that ain't doing shit with us right now. We fucking our own planet up and ain't figured that out. But we, man, fuck space. Explore that shit once we got this shit. I don't care about another planet with our planet. Like, it's time this cause the world got priorities. We spend our time worried about. It ain't about the human condition, like actually making people lives, but we're worried shit that's cool. I don't care about cool. I really don't. I'm sorry. All of you science I've offended with. I'm sorry, man. My problem care about science. Like, figure some shit.
Well, I would say that it's so many people in the world, and there's so many people that specialize in certain things, and people find, how to say, find what they use and their talents to work on the problems that they're good at work. They put a little positive light on it. And I feel like if it's all about just learning different things and stuff like that, maybe we'll find something that will benefit us in the long run that we just did not intend. Because a lot of things that we have or just new discoveries that we have in the future is usually by mistake that we find them. But I digress. I understand. Agree to disagree, pretty much. Whatever. So in my next part of the fuckery or whatever, matter of fact, before I get into that or whatever, because the next thing I was going to talk about is basically the Larry Hoover benefit concert between Drake and Ye. And then Kanye actually, he's rumored to actually take over Virgil's spot in as the creative director at Louis Vuitton. But it came to a question that I had. Can an artist's artistry and talent redeem themselves after they do some fuck, pretty much?
I believe it depends on the situation and the extent of what they do.
Because like I would say, of course, in situations like R. Kelly with his freaky cult or whatever, exactly. I don't think it's a redeemable situation. But for example, I have a list of characters. Of course, obviously, there's Kanye or whatever, and he still stands strong on certain views that he have that we may disagree with. But I would say at least he's have explained his side of the story with him or whatever. I still don't disagree or whatever. But he's been going on a run, and it seems like people tend to forget pretty much the fuckery he's done before or whatever. Lil Wayne, for example. There's a couple of things Lil Wayne have done in the past, like maybe like he took the picture with Trump that one time or whatever. What he said that disagreement we had said about he never had a problem with like white police or whatever and this, that, and third or whatever. And it's just, it wasn't, how would I say, I feel like it was more like the way he said things that might have gotten in trouble with Lil Wayne. But after that, Lil Wayne just goes back into his artistry and he just starts spitting all over again. And we tend to forget and pretty much forgive him for that match or whatever. I think Travis Scott is trying to do that because, yeah, he still was like releasing music throughout the whole thing. And I guess that's because that was planned out and scheduled ahead of time or whatever. But he also just released this interview with Charlamagne. It just, it kind of gives a bad taste in the mouth. Pause the way it came across. It kind of came across like, all right, I just want y'all to. It kind of came across insensitive, like, hey, I didn't have nothing to do with it, blah, 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 whatever. Not like he ain't had nothing to do with it, but like, hey, I'm totally innocent in this matter. I'm not a bad person. But the way he came across it, if you a parent and your child has died or whatever, like, you're not really you don't really care about what he's pretty much. So I think he could have just like left that whole interview process alone or whatever. And the next person I was going to bring up is Tory Lanez. Tory Lanez has stayed quiet and he has done nothing but drop music the whole time. Now I haven't listened to none of, but he's just dropped his last album. I know. If somebody had put me onto this album, I did not want to listen to it, but I listened to it.
That nigga's over there dying.
He is dying laughing.
This nigga's a Tory Lanez.
Yo, all right. Somebody say, yo, just listen to it. Just listen to it. Just listen to it.
I don't know if Tory Lanez cased of it.
Mm-hmm. But
all it of the has facts been. Ain't there. But
yeah.
I think it's still a strong
I'm not rocking with him as a person, but I can't deny he got talent because this album that I actually listened to, it has like, he made 80s music. It's an 80s sound, and I'm a sucker.
Didn't Bruno Mars do that?
Bruno Mars, I feel like Bruno Mars did more funk stuff, but this toilet.
This looks like Bruno Mars. I don't know.
I don't even know what's happening right now, but face to the utmost, right? Like, what? Hold on, what is happening? I feel so left out of the joke.
he's just laughing at me because I have weird facial expressions. That's all. That pretty much it. But I was just saying, I would listen to Tory Lanez's album, try to be non-biased, because I never really was like a fan nor like really like pretty much. But I listened to it and I feel like he just need to stick with R&B, because I'm not even an R&B head, but I like 80s sound, like the 80s sound. And it's called Alone at Prom. And I listened to it. I was like, I like this. I try to like, I ignore the fact that this is Tory Lanez, and I kind of got lost in it. I was like, all right, I like this. So I feel like if he just stay R&B and just drops, he might be all right or whatever. But I still disagree with what he actually did. And then you have DaBaby and his whole redemption thing, pretty much. I know Face is just weak, whatever. But I mean, you get the theme that I'm going through like right now. Like,
yeah, I got it. I've been with you the whole time.
But it feels like, I don't know. I just feel like if it was like 10 years back or whatever, like we probably wouldn't even hear from the people that actually seem like they're getting redeemed now, with the exception of Kanye, because he's Kanye. Or whatever, but
I wouldn't say that.
What was the original premise or question? What are we answering?
Can artistry and talent redeem an artist?
Redeem someone after they do some bullshit.
Okay.
Now, it like I said again, it depends on certain people, certain situations. Now, Kanye, I wouldn't say it's like he has to be redeemed. I say more of it's like he has to be given a lane to be understood. Because some of his ideas are totally out of there, but some of his ideas are totally on point, on level. It's just not a popular idea or not a popular way of seeing stuff or doing stuff. So his artistry is always going to remain. He does some weird stuff, but he's an innovator. So it may seem weird now, but 10 years down the road, a whole genre may be doing what he was doing now. So it's Kanye. Weezy, him as far as not experiencing racism by white cops, he's him. He feel like to appreciate him as a person and his music and his artistry is to know he's a weirdo anyway. He's a recluse. He stays to himself. He don't listen to nobody else's music but his own. So if you ask him a question, he's really going to give you a Lil Wayne answer because that he's true to himself and he's true. Damn, you feel me? So when he said that, he gave the example of what he was talking about, like, a white police officer saved his life. You feel me? Like when he could have did something totally different. So, I mean, in his situation, he has a different outlook than the majority of people because once again, he don't focus on the outside world. He's in his own world doing his own thing. So what goes on with the masses don't affect somebody like him. So you got to look at it on a different level. With the Tory Lanez shit, it's just funny anyway, with just Tory Lanez. But I mean, deport him. It's really not gonna stop him from making music, but it's not gonna stop him doing something. It's not a he. If it's true, okay, you got to put him in a different type of category where he has to be shunned, I should say, almost to a R. Kelly point where you are victimizing, you feel me, the opposite sex, but just not to that extreme. You feel me? Like you use a firearm. He used his penis and duct tape and rope and pee and all that other shit. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. For years.
But yes. I mean, hey, it's R. Kelly. Right, it's Robert Kelly. So that situation, of course, not cool. I feel like if it's an artist or athlete and it comes to victim and they're victimizers, that's like an action, like, I don't give a fuck who it is. You have to look at him in the same way. The same way he was a regular everyday person on the street. You a fucked up individual. That's what it is. I don't care how good your music is, you still a fucked up individual. You may make a good song, but you still a fucked up individual. Me personally, I see that the whole, they say canceling a person because of their personal actions and their artistry. I can understand it because you canceling them so they won't have no revenue. And you're not participating in buying and selling their music. But I'm sorry, I don't like R. Kelly. But God damn it, I'm still going to step in the name of love. Shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm that's just me personally. Hey, I'm not gonna buy no records, but if they play it, I'm gonna I like the song years ago. I don't like him. Cool. Boom. But I like his music. Sorry. Shit. It's a lot of motherfuckers out there that did a lot of fucked up shit y'all niggas just don't know about. And y'all still rocking shit. Look at these athletes that rape people, still in the league, done basketball, still in the league. Y'all still chill with these motherfuckers every Sunday. You feel me? Y'all still want to make yards. What's the difference? There is no difference in me listening to the music that was already made and just not liking the person and you neglecting the action and still cheering for a person. Mm.
I don't have to. It depends. It depends on what you mean by if you're talking about people again, a personal level, I think that all and with the facts of heard of somebody is probably get a whole lot of leaping on the power of that act. As unless far as if you talk about as far as like watching shit art, I don't think it is really no way around people. That's always thing. Like I feel like art, because art is so tied to emotion, it's almost impossible art. And so art, the artist, but that joke, that song, whatever, is still gonna make you feel when you read that piece of art. So I think like that's the thing. Like it really just like I don't think most people see but what I do is a lot of people struggling. I don't agree with what this person did, but I also have an attachment to his art. So I
think
you ain't gonna get around that. So if a person was feeling that way, they gonna keep feeling it as that art all over again. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I still fuck with Tory, and they might like it. And that's also even R. Kelly this far. It wasn't unacceptable.
Yeah, because
you this, can be redeemed art.
That person, because that's where I came up with this subject because I was listening to that Tory Lanez album. And I was like, mind you, I'm not a fan. Like,
yes, you are. Yes,
you are. You like that nigga, son?
You like I don't that, really like, listen. I like this album that he just made, but I don't really listen to that genre of music that he usually makes or whatever. So,
somebody suggested it, and I was like, okay.
So now I'm like, how am I supposed to feel about this? Because I actually like this sound, but I don't really fuss with this dude like that. You know what I'm saying? And
I feel about this.
I can't stand face right now, man. He's wild. But you get what I mean. Well, I had that point where I was like, all right, is this okay for me to like this?
But the question came out. Hey, I like some shit people don't like. So, and to each his own, my good friend. To each his own. I support you, man. I support you.
Rock out, brethren.
Yeah. But that's pretty much the good and fuckery this week. Pretty much slow fuckery week, which is actually a good thing. You know?
Did you say it's fuckery week?
No, I said it's not that fuckery much fuckery week.
Oh, I was about to be like, what? Fuckery got a holiday?
Fuckery week.
That's hard. I was about to be like, hell no, that's hard.
We don't need a fuckery holiday, man. That joint will be like the purge in some areas. They ain't it's like, what? Well, we can do whatever type of fuckery. We need like a
whole lot of pelts and
You know,
we need like a fuckery chart that's allowed for fuckery.
A fuckery scale.
Yeah.
Like
sound of fuckery scale. Ground shaking. That yeah, definitely.
Yeah, dang. But now, I said, God damn. Mm-hmm.
That was the oldest sounding. I was about to say,
I ain't that old, man.
Kids, get on way from round that five.
I ain't that old.
You shoot your eye out.
Well, fuck y'all, man.
That was a good fuckery.
Well, shit. From also, since we're done with the good and fuckery, let's go to face and screen and shit.
All right.
This week, let's talk about the worst Christmas movie. Since last week, we talked about the best Christmas movie, man.
I'm getting
it. I want to start out with a Christmas movie I can't stand. A Madea Christmas.
I've known. I've seen don't a lot of Madea flicks.
Yeah, you don't want to. Don't waste your time. It's a Madea movie.
Tyler Perry make hits.
My family love Tyler
Perry. They do.
I'm not big on the Madea movie too much.
Yeah, me either.
I ain't gonna front, man. Yeah. He stopped making them play.
I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, it seemed more like the watered down. This is Madea for the white folk.
He did his move. He got his money. But it was it. But that's a sucky ass Christmas movie. Next one, Jingle All the Way.
That's Schwarzenegger.
Yes, Schwarzenegger and Sinbad.
With the Turbo Man, when he's trying to get Turbo Man.
Yes. Yeah. Suck ass Christmas movie.
Terrible looking character design. I'm sorry.
Yeah, horrible, horrible movie. Next one. Last week, the original version of this movie was on the top 10 best Christmas movies. Now, the sequel, we'll get to that later. Now, the sequel to this movie is on the worst Christmas movie, A Christmas Story 2.
I didn't even know that existed.
I was about to say that. It's a 2.
It does.
I'm looking at this now.
Where do you go with the sequel to that? Like, it was kind of like a one and done type of movie. Like,
No. They figured out a fucking way and fucked it up.
Oh,
everything. Did this sequel?
This came out in 2012.
2012?
Mm-hmm.
You don't make the sequel like 50 years after the first one. Bullshit is this?
I just realized that the original came out the year we were born and stuff, 1983.
Why would nostalgia? Fuck was killing my childhood. What the fuck?
Yes. Now, speaking of Home Alone. Not Home Alone 2, because that was an okay movie, Home Alone New York. Okay. But Home Alone 3? But Home Alone 3? Nah, you lost me.
That's when they switched
it. Yes. Switched the kids, switched the family.
It was like a radio-controlled car or something.
It's like what the... Yeah, exactly. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, come on, man. Keep with the robbery thing. Keep with the bad guys. Too damn much is not even the word for that shit. That's some bullshit they did.
Everything don't need fucking...
They should have stopped it, too.
Now, to keep in the method and the swag we got going on with these bullshit-ass sequels, we're going with Look Who's Talking Now.
I remember this. Wait.
That was a holiday movie?
Yes. Yes, it was. With the fucking dogs talking.
I do remember this. Yes. I do. Yeah. With John Travolta?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Suck-ass movie.
I don't like John Travolta and family. I just want him in nothing but Quentin Tarantino in action and movies where he's some type of like corporate
might
boss.
Be an unpopular I'm good.
No, I understand.
He really ain't gotta do much of nothing. Thank you for your contribution.
Now I think we're going to Cartoon World next. Cartoon World. We're going Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July.
Well, that's a
damn that just sounds like and like a corporate.
You know, lost brand.
Yes. Yes.
I've been doing Christmas all my life. Exactly. I wish it had them, because then my birthday would have been. I might have been around and with their family. So,
was it in Australia?
I don't know what the fuck it was.
I just called
it. It's just a dumbass movie.
When is it? 1979? Yeah, this is one of those. It's like the original Rudolph, the way they designed it and did the animation and everything. But yeah, this was a money grab. The first couple of ones were like good, but yeah, all Christmas cartoon movies are usually money grabs if they ain't the classic.
Next one. We got Four Christmas.
Four Christmas.
But every
that's the name of the movie. That's the name of the movie.
Four man, Christmas. I'm dumb as hell. I was so like
crazy ass. Yes, the movie with Vince Vaughn and
the guy got
it. Yeah, man. You good, homie? I'm on my meds this week, so I got enough meds to hold the boat straight. Shit. Next one we going Daddy's Home 2.
Daddy's Home.
The movie with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell's the stepdad, and Mark Wahlberg's the ex-husband and the father. He comes over for the first time in the first movie for Christmas, tries to take over, but Will Ferrell.
I am unfamiliar. Only movie I thought they had to get like.
Oh, no.
They had a few.
Part one with Daddy's Home 1, that was a good movie. That's a good holiday movie. I like that one. They try to overdo it. and they brought in John Lithgow and Mel. What's the dude?
Mel Gibson.
There you go, Mel Gibson. They brought him. They overdid. He had the funny part when he got hit in the head with a snowball. That was the funny part. One of the only funny parts of him. And knocked his head down with a snowball.
Well, and you told me how bad of a movie this is.
Yeah, they really tried to overdo it, man. The first one was good. Yeah, exactly. So it's not one of the good, one of his best movies. Next one, we're going The Nutcracker in 3D.
I don't like Nutcracker in regular.
Exactly.
I don't like the name
either. When you put it in 3D, it extra sucks.
I had fellas from elementary school when they I nod off every fucking time. It's called, man. This whole I ain't even about to try to talk about that shit. I'm good. Fuck the Nutcracker.
La 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 la.
The moral of the story is.
And the last one, well, not really one, but a whole bunch all in one. Any and all Hallmark Christmas movie.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, I saw that it was a meme where it said Hallmark had like 437 Christmas movies using 17 actors, 5 locations, and 3 different plots.
And 4 sweaters.
4 Christmas sweaters.
But I will say the lights don't work. I don't know. It's something about like the family getting it. But I can't remember. I was like, all right. So I want to roll with because most of it.
Well, you find that was send me the link to it so I can try to get through that one, see if I can change my opinion. But as far as right now, any and all motherfucker Hallmark Christmas movie suck. Oh, that's a classic movie. I sit through it every day. So if I had
to, what movie?
The Mighty Queen.
Oh shit!
The Mighty
damn right. Ooh, I watched that one too. Shit, damn it! Classic damn movie.
Mighty Mouse. Mighty Thor.
That may be the end of face the screen. But instead of waiting till later to do my rant, I'm gonna do it right now, man. Get my shit out the way since I'm already on my shit.
Right on.
Now, I always say I hate bad customer service. So instead of just giving an overall view, I'm gonna start pinpointing these motherfuckers out. You feel me?
Point them out. Point them out.
Taco Bell in Farmville, Virginia. Taco Bell in Farmville, Virginia. Your customer service fucking sucks.
Please come
through the drive. Went through the drive-thru. I don't order nothing. My wife orders. You feel me? Because I don't like talking to people. So my wife orders. First thing we had, yeah, gonna have.
Yep, so that
was I didn't start. I ain't say shit. He ordered. And what else you want? I lift my head up. I'm looking at her that way. Right, look at me. Because I'm getting pissed off. Because, motherfucker, you ain't polite for shit. Like, if you don't want to work here, get your ass gone.
Let's and this is the drive-through area code.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, zip code 1. Jessica,
mm-hmm. Point them out.
Mm-hmm. So, she orders. And, okay, get a total. Drive forward now. I look up. She looking at me now. I'm like, this some bullshit. I don't like this shit. So I go into my normal angry man shit in the car. Don't say nothing. Okay. I ain't gonna say nothing because that's your food. It ain't mine. If it was mine, I wouldn't give a fuck, but that's your food. Come to the window. Still rude as shit. Say the total. I'm looking at him like, what the fuck is the aggression for? I want to hop out the car with my kids in the back too. So I'm really muted because I'm tired. My angles is tired. You feel me? So I'm looking at my wife. She like, let me just get the food and go. I don't like bad customer service, man. Like, it irks my fucking nerves. Not only because I've been in customer service for many years before, but just, motherfucker, that's your job. You were there applied to do whatever they asked you to, motherfucker. If they asked you to do some shit that you didn't want to do that day, you had a choice to leave. You are not a slave. You can walk out. If you had some personal shit to handle, to take care of, you should have stepped your ass outside and dealt with your personal shit. If you're frustrated, deal with your shit on your own time. You at work, put your work hat on and get to work. I ain't gonna call your name, but I will point out your this dark-skinned individual dude. I think it was a Friday night.
Dark-skinned individual dude. That's a hell of a damn dark dude.
But my thing is, every time I experience bad customer service, I'm gonna pinpoint these businesses out, man, because people don't have to come to your establishment and experience your rude treatment. At the end of the day, your business
pride. People do act like it.
You feel me? Just like, just any fucking way. Any fucking way.
That fucking,
no, you feel me? Like, it's a convenience. It's a convenience. That's it. You provided convenience. But at the end of the day, when the convenience becomes inconvenient, you don't have to go there. You feel like when enough people stop fucking with a place, it becomes like, everybody got to deal with that shit. But every place from now on that I experience bad customer service, I'm going to bring it to the platform.
Bring them out.
You feel me? Because other people need to know this. I don't know. Somebody might be riding by there and wanting to, you know, let me get this job. You know, face it, he had a real bad experience. And let me just go to the next place. If it's retraining that's needed, hey, retrain. Hello. How can I help you? At least. You feel me? Give me that at least. You ain't got to be over exuberant with your greetings and shit. Hello, how can I help you? Boom, I'm happy. Because you open for business. Nice. Hear what you want.
Or
take that shit out.
Or you could do what I did when I worked fast food and work the back. I cussed all day in the back. I cussed.
There you go.
I was even manager. I cussed out the managers. I cussed out everybody. People working there, whatnot.
Or do the. Mm-hmm. You know something for you. Wasn't just for don't work in that industry. It's a exactly. Different. Don't work in that.
Now, at the time that I work in that fast food place, it's not like now where they are literally trying to find every way to hire you and keep you there. These companies are like really searching out, like for the first time I've seen before in a while or whatever.
Fuck.
And I know
I'm gonna be honest, man. Dollars, I don't even know.
Yeah,
you go deal. With it. I'm not about to be honest.
Oh, since we ranting about bad customer service, I want to say this. I live in 757. I will never go to a fast food place in Norfolk. I try my hardest to keep away from fast food places in Norfolk, period. Well, no, because I already know that, because I know the area, that if you working at a fast food place in Norfolk, you don't care, period. I can't even be mad at you. I can't even be mad at you because it's Norfolk.
Well, if we McDonald's at 6072 Fairburn Road in Douglasville, Georgia, 0134. Y'all have the worst customers. Y'all are the slowest or fast stay with it. And y'all ice cream, no, three and count. My child was literally able to go there and get an ice cream in it. Not a shake, not a sundae, flurry, just nothing. Shut the fuck down. It's too many other McDonald's in Georgia for y'all to still be open. Y'all don't need to be open. Whoever your franchise man hold that shit down at Bouncy House or Park. Or
he said a Bouncy House.
Maybe turn it into a Checker. Hell, I don't know. Put a Rally's there. A Sonic even. But y'all don't need to be there. No. Y'all ain't
worth it. Sonic even. What's Sonic even?
Brought that up. McDonald's and the ice cream machines, because that's nationwide that, you know.
And let me tell y'all another thing about them damn ice cream machines. Y'all stop being fucking lazy and just clean it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It ain't down. You lazy as fuck and didn't feel like cleaning it. Clean the goddamn machine so we can get a sundae. Do that shit during the breakfast menu. Ain't nobody pulling up for a McFlurry at 4 or 5 in the morning. Do that then. So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when my son just want a little ice cream, he had a good day at school, he want a little piece of ice cream, we can just stop off and get it. Why the fuck do I got to go around the corner to Dairy Queen every time? Think of you right there. Just fix the fucking machine and clean it.
See? Now that he brought that up, I wanted to say, yo, McDonald's is so bad. And they say the cleaning process is like, I don't know, like 3 hours long or something like that. But it's so bad that they created an app that you can use to find out when whatever McDonald's ice cream machine is actually working. Someone made an actual app.
They ain't got an obviously. You ain't about to game color, size, or what the fuck.
Yo, like, yo, they food be looking like kid cuisine packs.
Kid Cuisine was all right compared to McDonald's. Only thing about Kid Cuisine is that damn brand will fuck you over because he's cold, but you bite into the middle of that bitch and burn all your shit out.
Mm-hmm.
All your mouth out.
And it came with a comic book.
Cereal.
Cereal is for dinner. Cereal is for all times of the day. Lawsuits, probably.
My son has been deprived of wonderful feeling of if you was one of them up in the snail. I wait, unless it's Baltimore. Big bag, satchel.
Satchel.
I might buy a bag of that shit. this weekend. Just the old town sake.
Don't walk around looking pioneer on the trail with a sure sack. What's
that? Oh, Johnny Appleseed.
What you got? Some flour? Some cornmeal? No, frutangios.
Frutangio.
That's just what's banging.
Yeah, frutangios or what was it? Frosted squares.
Fruitio.
Instead of Count Chocolate, chocolate grains, shit like that. Like it was just like the name of it, literally the name.
What?
Yeah.
Count Choco.
Honey cereal with oat cluster, but that shit was good as hell in like 4 months. You never be out of that. Eat that shit every day for months and still be, the bag still be having better potato.
Indeed. Styrofoam peanuts.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. The styrofoam peanuts. But speaking of styrofoam peanuts, what a serious topic. We're going to continue the bracket of the top end before it's Now, last week, but don't worry. I know. Put it in. But we're still in round one. We haven't. We finished the first side last week. We had RZA, Nas, to the other, another action. So, like more close without first.
Man.
Red Man versus
Jersey versus Jersey.
I got
it. You and I, D-Y.
Boy, them flapjacks.
Oh, they going to get us for that.
You
know, that is UNITY.
Boy, I seen when a sack of laundry. But I would say on a lyricist
duffel bag
on
boy.
Stage, I would I'm gonna kill her as far as my little boy. Queen of TV, I don't know the Red Man. Red, at least.
Well, I'm gonna say it right straight out. Red Man 3-0. Pat, you can go.
All right. Okay.
Well, shit. All right.
First of all, y'all already know it's going to be Red Man anyway, but let me just break it down a little. Red Man to this day is still rapping. Red Man is still on stage. Red Man just had a versus. It was with Method Man, but it's still technically a versus or whatever. It wasn't really like a battle. It was kind of like they both were doing the show. He still got it as far as his stage presence. I would say Queen Latifah may have an edge on him as far as marketability, but at the same time, Redman does have a worldwide cult following. Most of his tours now, like overseas tours, it's almost kind of like Snoop's when it comes to like the stoner. He's like one of those people like Cheech and Chong and. When it comes to like Red and Meth and Snoop and Wiz, when it comes to like the stoner culture, pretty much. But either way, Red Man.
Mm-hmm. Red Man moves on.
Jersey versus Jersey.
It is what it is. Please don't get mad at us because two ladies. They moving on. KRS-One, the T-Chop, and Pat's homeboy. Versus Big Pun. Did it matter?
Let's say you go ahead, Faith, if you want.
Okay. I don't know. they're both in their own right, lyrical giants in their own right. People are not gonna like me for this, but I don't like KRS-One. That's just me. If you know me, you know my taste. Tell me, hey. Big Pun, I've listened to a few of his songs. I'm not a Big Pun fan, but I've listened to, I can say, I can sit through more Big Pun music than I can get through KRS-One.
Okay, I can.
Now, on the categories that we put set for this little thing we got going on, we're going to go stage presence. I'm going to get the KRS-One, because Big Pun's immobility. He wasn't able to give you a full stage presence because of his stature.
Ain't got that, man. Got some points.
Marketability, KRS-One's stance on a lot of stuff keeps him from being in a lot more arenas that he can't be because of his longstanding rap career and his ability to have conversations on an intellectual basis. He could be in a lot of different arenas, but his basis on how and what he says keeps him from some areas, but at the same time, it opens up other areas for him to big puns not around. So the level of his marketability only goes so far as what his people are doing for him. So I'll have to give that to KRS-One as well. Lyrics, that's what I don't know. Because once again, they're both lyrical giants in their own right. But I'm in this to what I personally like, and I'm going to give this to Pun. So at the end of it, Pun loses 2-1 KRS-One.
Okay, on the board.
You can go ahead and take it first.
All right. I'm going to say KRS. I said the opposite swabs of how big, how like albums that kind of to this book crowd. And lyricism, I respect KRS as far as he talking about.
All right. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm a big Pun fan also, to tell you the truth. I bought his first album. I was amazed by how lyrical and how he can manipulate syllables and fit them all to the rhyme. The different songs, he was great songwriter in general. I think the main thing that hindered him in this situation is his career being shorted out because of his death, pretty much. So I'm gonna put that out there first or whatever, because lyrical ability as far as just technicality and just going at it bar for bar or whatever, I would say KRS-One has more conscious content and views in general. But I feel like Big Pun, his inept ability to just manipulate words to fit into the beat and syllables or whatever kind of outshine a lot of people for me or whatever. But getting that out of the way, marketing is going to be KRS-One because he's a staple in the culture. Like he's just one of those factors in the culture, that pioneers in the culture that brought this whole music into being in the first place or whatever. Stage presence or whatever, I still give it to KRS-One. I actually seen him on stage in my own life. I have a bias, of course, because he gave me the mic. He literally gave me the mic and then dapped me up and was like, you did a great job. In front of an actual recording artist at that time that was out. But yeah, man, he currently was in a Versus with Big Daddy Kane, and they showed out pretty much. So I think the handicap in this is Big Pun's death. It hindered him from actually showing where we could actually see him, because he was on that way. And I don't think with Fat Joe being basically his manager and where Fat Joe is right now, I don't think he would have let Big Pun fall at all if he was to. Like, you know how people say, like, you know, after a while, like these rappers that we grew up with or whatever, you just don't hear from them at all. And at that time, they might have been that rapper. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. Like, it was a period where Mace was the top rapper at that time or whatever. It might have been a short period, but it was a time. But you not hearing from him. But just because of where I see Fat Joe is consistently in the culture himself, I feel like Big Pun would have had a chance to be part of the culture like that. But you can't outdo a staple in the culture. So I'm giving it to KRS-One.
KRS-One, second 3-0 of the another one.
This is up.
Tupac. Tupac is hurt. I don't think the closest no
real head. I still like that song.
Super biased.
Computers puking. Move is moving. Computers moving. I'll go next, man. Camera versus Tupac versus Camera. This is not even a discussion. One name can't even be in the same realm as the other. This is just like the worst matchup so far we've had. Tupac hands down. Yeah. I don't give a fuck if he died early or not. Shit. This nigga still making money. It's Tupac song still coming out, goddamn.
Yep.
Shit. Wow. If he did die,
that is true.
Shit. When was the last time Cameron put some shit out? And he just had the verse. That sucked on his routine. Stage presence. Tupac's hologram. Once again, let me break it down for you. Tupac's hologram. get the crowd moving. So if my imaginary being can get the
that you say,
you feel me? Lyricism? Come on, man. It's not even debatable. Tupac, man, 3-0. Come on, man.
Looking pretty one-sided on this side of the bracket. Pretty much. Yep.
Put it in the comments.
Well,
computers proven. Movers moving.
We'll start. Cameron is entertaining as fuck to me. Like I enjoy Cameron music, and then Cameron when he's joking people on Instagram or whatever. I actually like him as a rapper, but it's one of these situations where Cameron is, I would give him the King of Spades against the Joker, pretty much. Where, yeah, it's, you might have won with somebody else, but this is Tupac. So I'm going to just give it to Tupac. Tupac, you can't match him with marketing. There's people to this day trying to be Tupac. Everybody, like, Tupac is like a bar of where somebody put him. Like, are you, like, it's a blog always somewhere that's trying to compare somebody to Tupac some type of way, pretty much. Lyricism, he talks about any type of thing in the emotional spectrum. And performance, Face said it. He had a freaking hologram and it moved people. He's been dead for how long? Since for the past damn near 20 years or whatever. So I ain't gonna lie. Cameron has brought me some great music in the years of my college years, but we're not beating Tupac. So Tupac.
Another three. This one is closer. So I'm gonna let
I roll first. Yeah, I'm gonna go first, man. I love Ice Cube music. I love him as a staple in hip hop or whatever. But it's Method Man, man. Method Man is my favorite rapper, period. Method Man is a guy that made me want to rap, pretty much. Like, if it's Method Man is the, you look up in the Webster dictionary for rapper MC and you see somebody that look like fucking Method Man or whatever. Not gonna deny the classic Ice Cube. Ice Cube has brought out classic after classic after classic. Not even gonna say that. I feel like Ice Cube probably has more classics.
I keep it flipping like
solo that. Belt. Exactly. He probably got more classics under his belt solo.
When I hit the tarmac, it feel like cards. Bigger
than Method Man. But like I said, freaking Method Man. All right, we got marketing. I feel like they might probably be about the same, pretty much. You got NWA versus Wu-Tang. I feel like they're about the same. You get what I'm saying? Performance-wise, I'm giving it to Method Man, period. Method Man is still doing it. Like I said, he just got a versus, pretty much. And lyricism, I'm giving it to Method Man, too. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. I will say, as far as content, though, as far as perspectives and emotional side and things that you actually go through life, I might get that more from Ice Cube, but I'm not going to say I am not going to get that from Method Man, because I'm that much of a Method Man fan that I could probably pinpoint a song where he does do that. And I came to bring the pain, hardcore for the brain. Let's go inside my astral plane. All right, I'm done. Y'all knew I had a Wu-Tang bias, and when it comes to Method Man, that's it. That's it.
I'll go
next.
Okay.
You go ahead. Go ahead.
So I'm going to leave this to last. Stage presence, probably, definitely get a marketer. That's the one I'll just, I can't. They got brands, like they got a lot going on. It's just tough. So I'll just figure out the top. They're totally different. Totally. Ice Cube, I love the way he raps. Like, I feel like fit too. Like, yeah. I don't even I know why I'm mad. Fuck y'all.
I can see that.
So I've always had his like, yeah, the way I'm dropping triple double, man. The MET that I wasn't respecting. I really wasn't a this nigga's fucking spitting my face.
I did a little song. Got that video with his eye missing.
But that was a close one because I really
Let's
go ahead and give Method Man 3-0. Stage points, stage presence, Method Man, marketability. I'm gonna give it to Method Man because he's edging closer and closer to getting this MCU role that he wants, man. So he gets that and sells everything, but he's pursuing a contract. And I think he'll get any day now or any year. I think he really get it. But they can fit him into some role into the even though Q got all them 10 albums and he gets the key moving, the family moving and all that stuff too. I still give it a shot. Lyricism, that's the toughest category for me. But I'm gonna give it to Method Man because once again it all boils down to what I personally like when it comes to lyricism. And I like what Method Man does and lyrically more than I like what Coop does. 3-0.
Any
did you just deliver your entire
no why do we
I cannot see this nigga's eye for shit. What the fuck are you doing over there, face?
Eating chips and stuff.
I was like, what the fuck? Loud ass. That's a cookie from
Pat. I was gonna say also, Method Man doesn't even rap with cuss words anymore. He's like over the. I think he couple of years back he stopped writing rhymes with cuss words in it just to challenge himself or whatever. Oh yeah, like now he don't rap rhymes with cuss. He's taking the Rakim road pretty much. Person, me too.
He got it from Joe. Now this Mace one, Common verse.
Verse who? Mace.
Yep.
Mason Beth,
marketability, I would say Common. At one point, Mace had it.
Mace what? Mace who?
The longevity of his Common. Stage presence, I'm going to be honest, neither one really exciting. So I'll just call that a wash. For like
Mace. That's a common.
But I feel like he also had some shit like when he went at, like,
yeah. I see the bitch.
And even in the glory on that joint, the glory song, like even his active, the light, love. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like they both spit. So I really don't know where to go with that one. I'm gonna call that one a watch too. He fought the nothing. Mm-hmm. That's tough. Face.
Okay.
Can you at least not put it near the mic, bro? The hell is clacker, 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 clacker. Do what I you gotta start doing. What I be put all your snacks, all your snacks in one of these before you start recording. Then you gotta pull them out, and I found that out because, and I was like, what the fuck is that? Is that a bug or something? Is that like a cricket or something? And then I remember back, and I was like,
I guess.
Out of nowhere.
I'm gonna keep that sound in. Okay. Okay, so going back to
Common verse Mace. I'll go. All right. marketing. Like you said, Mace had a point, but due to the fuckery over the years, that's not happening anytime soon. Like, I can't see Mace putting out an album and people take it seriously, but I could see Common put out an album and it's normal because Common is constantly putting out music. I would say either every 2 years, I'll give it pretty much. Exactly. I haven't seen him at a Kanye Sunday service yet. That's what I heard too. Let's see, stage performance. Common, I can give it to him for stage performance and his own realm when he bring people into his world, pretty much, or whatever. But at the same time, if Puffy was to bring out Mace and they do their classic songs, people will go out off pretty much. So I'm kind of iffy about that or whatever, but just the simple fact that I feel like Common is still doing it. He's still in the game making music. I'm going to give it to Common. And lyricism, I'm going to give it to Common because Mace pretty much talked about the same stuff. And then when he became... And then when he came a pastor or whatever, he demonized everything that he was talking about and said, yeah, the industry made me do that. But just the simple fact that Common exists kind of negates his argument about that. Like, you could, yeah. I feel like Mace went through an existential crisis himself.
Yep. You're probably trying to find, which shouldn't be too hard.
You got big ass head. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you one thing, whenever he's trying to find himself, Cameron and Jim Jones is always there to correct him. Seems like. And it's hilarious. So, yeah, Common.
Another 30. Last two of the.
Oh my God. These two.
Scarface versus G. Marketability. Snoop Dogg in America. You start doing everybody in it. It's nothing Snoop Dogg, but lyricism. Scarface ain't, and I would actually go to see first, but everything else, there is a one. As we go on, I'm Snoop Dogg. All Snoop Dogg got to do is them lyrics. Snoop Dogg, too.
All right. Face, you go first, man. You go first.
All right, man. Stage presence, Snoop Dogg. Marketability, Snoop Dogg. Lyrical, I really don't know, man. But lyrically, I fuck with Snoop Dogg. Not his new shit. None of that new shit. But Scarface shit is timeless. So one of my favorite songs of all time is that shit with Scarface and Tupac. Smile. All you gotta do that is smile for me. That shit.
Just smile.
That's, that was a tip.
Lyrical, I'm gonna just go ahead. Scarface. But again, Snoop Dogg, he takes 2-1.
All right, y'all. I might have some crucial information that might change the trajectory of this particular bracket. Pretty much because, all right, I'll put this out the way. I'm giving the marketability of Snoop Dogg, of course, and performance of Snoop Dogg. I'm gonna just straight up give Scarface lyricism, but here's the stipulation though. Since Ego Trippin', Snoop Dogg's what was that album? It came out 2008 or whatever. He's been using ghostwriters for certain songs, and he admitted to it. And I don't know, it's like as soon as we did the bracket, maybe my phone heard our conversation. But then I started seeing like articles about Snoop Dogg's admitting to ghostwriter or whatever, as of Ego Trippin'. Now, everything before, he's actually written or whatever. So now it's like, do we include Snoop in this?
I perfect you.
Mm-hmm.
To the partners, Laurel.
Yeah, because it Snoop. From, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 albums and probably majority of Dr. Dre stuff, he wrote that. And still DRE, that was written all by Jay-Z. I mean?
So it's just,
Snoop is a staple. So I'm wondering now, is that the reason why his lyrics have fallen down since then? I'm giving this Scarface.
Yeah, get the Scarface shit. I'll change my shit too, shit. That broke the rules. The rules broke. We set the rules, so we got to go by the rules.
Damn. Pat, why you had to come with some?
Because somebody was going to come by facts. So gotta be.
I can see last call. Wait one motherfucking minute. Snoop Dogg had a ghostwriter in 2009.
I didn't realize. Yo, he had Snoop Dogg got too many albums, man. He had an album called Kool-Aid that came out 2016. And I ain't never heard of it.
Nope.
Never left Bible of Love.
Just his hip hop albums is enough. Not the far
album. Reggae.
Definitely. He's probably I don't know that he's got
his Reggae Tone like album. His Salsa and, like, album.
Too Short and Melt. It's an insane.
What?
Yeah, I was wrestling him. Moving on.
Last but not least, round one, Big L versus say lyrics, unless you're one of those, it's really hard to be kind of hard for me. Definitely go stage, but you gotta listen down and market. I'll probably go for one, be alive.
All right, I'll go. Let's see. This is hard because I feel like Big L is kind of the same situation with Big Pun to me. Wherever, like, I feel like they just haven't had that chance to shine. Because Big L, he birthed a lot of rappers on the low, too, or whatever. Because, I mean, you know, you had, I ain't gonna say he, and then he had, like, classic moments, like, that classic moment with him and Jay-Z and that freestyle, or whatever. He, what is it, Children of the Corn? He basically brought out Mace and Cam'ron, pretty much. Exactly. And what was the cousin they passed away? What's his name? Blood something? It was Blood Rush. Something like that. It wasn't Blood Raw. It's something with blood in it. I think it's Cam'ron's cousin, but let's see. Lyricism, stage presence, marketing. I almost feel like it's even, especially with marketing, because I just feel like Big L hasn't had that chance, and I feel like he would have been he wouldn't have been up, not necessarily like a staple like Jay-Z, but he'll at least be there with like Cameron and them, you know, as far as where he could have been. But all in all, I think I want to give it a Kool G Rap just because he also influenced the whole like genre within rap, whatever, as far as like in different genres or whatever. You can say he started the drug dealing rap, he started gangster rap, he started just street rap, he started technically started backpack rap. He, you know what I'm saying, extra the extra syllable for each, the last three syllables is law. Like I like that's one of my as far as rapping, that's kind of like one of my rules in my head, like the last three syllables have to rhyme in each line. And I got that from the rappers that I listen to, but they got that from Kool G Rap. So he was like one of the first that pretty much did that. Like he was the street version of Rakim. Like if you listen to Rakim and you wanted him to say street stuff, you probably would listen to Kool G Rap pretty much. So I give it a Kool G Rap because I feel like in some way Kool G Rap probably influenced Big L. Because like Kool G, he kind of came out like late 80s, early 90s, pretty much. And he's still technically in the underground realm. He's still kind of making music or whatever. So
right.
I'm going to just give it to that. Kool G.
Okay. Face Mobby Dobby. Face you there.
It's the last one. The last one. That nigga with the
I don't really know what to do with this one. Pat, put this one up on the social media.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, let them find there. Y'all know how it be. But yeah, man, we much got the brackets as far, y'all. And Pod Squad, we'll let y'all pick that one up. Check out the social media. Pat gonna put that up. Hold up for y'all and we'll get your vote. Next week, guys, we go in first where now you guys get to start voting for Pod Squad votes. So all of brackets with our votes, and you can bracket start dates this week. And yeah, man, I feel like that's a good off. We should be back for our last manage, but this week I'm about to be off for the holidays, so hey. I'm gonna be all good to go and stay up late and be looking forward to just some vlogs. And yeah, man, you know, be fucking with your boys. If you want to support financially, I ain't even about to go through this. Or you can go to $1, that's $POD on Cash App. Either one of those. Listen to us on anchor.fm. Start there and go to any of your favorites. Start there. So support us financially as always. Or it's to just like it, share, subscribe if you're on it. And if you enjoyed something resonates with you, go ahead, jump in those comments, in the conversation. Love to hear and actually have those dialogue a lot from do that. And yeah, man, be right back. And Pat, how could they get in touch with it if they don't want us throughout the week?
@ @TheePodNAS. That's @TheePodNAS. That's the TikTok, the Instagram, that's the Twitter. That's also the Facebook. And also on Facebook is Tiz Face Pat are the partners. We got two Facebooks, the partners and Tiz Face Pat are the partners. Go ahead, DM us. If you want us to react to anything, send that to us. Any comments, make sure you like, share, subscribe on any of the platforms. And yeah, once again, @TheePodNAS.
Our support by the merch. Go to rtrack.com. We got a bunch of, if you enjoyed some catchphrases on the shows, we got merch for that. We got the free clothing called rtrack clothing.
And the promo code is R-Tray, A-R-T-R-E 1, and Pod Squad 83 still works also.
There you go, man.
Hold it down, Faith.
All that, all of our live days, all that good. If you ever want to be a guest on that, email us, partner, I definitely am looking for, and also just to get a female perspective, you can also decide, because if you're interested, the Partners Podcast. And man, as always, I'm one third of the partners, your boy Tiz, and I have been along.
The other third of the partners, the Friendly Neighborhood Padawan here, and we are along with Dramatic Pause, our brother Face, who faced a blunt, and yeah.
And yeah, we lost his face, but he's always
about to say the same thing.
I'm proud of him for making it. His vegetable. I hope. And yeah, man. Love y'all. We were all three of y'all at the show, and we'll see y'all next get off for the holiday. Yeah, man. You might even see actual in person, all three of us pull up over the Christmas break, just because it might happen. So yeah, be looking forward to all that in the coming week. Holidays are remember why that's getting it's about loving on each keep your head, keep God first.
About to get like face. And face of blood.